Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's December 20th, 2019 program, our annual Gifts to the City program. This is the 15th program of our 2019-2020 programming year and our final program for 2019. My name is Eric Richardson and I serve as City Club President. Support for the City Club is provided by our members and sponsors. You too can become a member of the City Club at our website, cityclubofeugene.org. We have both business and in-kind sponsors, including our diamond sponsors. Kaiser Permanente exists to provide high-quality, affordable health care services and to improve the health of our members and the communities we serve. More information at www.kp.org. The University of Oregon. Since 1876, the university has helped Oregonians question critically, think logically, reason effectively, communicate clearly, act creatively, and live ethically. More information at uoregon.edu. Peace Health is proud to serve Eugene, Lane County, and beyond. As your hometown healthcare provider for more than 80 years, their mission is to keep you and your family healthy. Learn more at peacehealth.org. And Lane Community College, who transforms lives through learning. It provides comprehensive, accessible, high-quality educational opportunities that promote student success. More information can be found at lanecc.edu/programs. And we would also like to thank, finally, our generous support from the City of Eugene. Our outgoing city manager, showed his support for the City Club by reaching out to us and offering this great support, and we hope to continue that going forward. Every year, the City Club invites individuals who see Eugene from a great variety of perspectives to offer virtual gifts to our community. We ask them all to tell what they think would make us an even better place to live, given their experience of our assets and deficiencies. Because each sees Eugene from a unique perspective, each has a different insight about our needs. Today, we will welcome 11 guests who will give us a gift according to their own perspectives. Now, please join me in welcoming Pastor Dan Bryant, who will be today's MC.
Thank you, Eric. It is always a delight and an honor to serve as your MC for this most wonderful program of the year. So, one disclaimer. While I am pleased to count a number of our gift givers as good friends, I was not a part of the selection process, and neither I nor the City Club take any responsibility for any of the outlandish things they may say or do here. We just hope they do. The more outlandish, the better, right? Just as long as we don't get any coal in our stocking. Now, of course, we are a serious club and only discuss serious issues. So it is most fitting that we begin our gift bringing with a very serious person. I give you, therefore, her slimeness, slug goddess, Slime Shine, a.k.a. Jeanette Keim, the current reigning slug queen. After moving to Eugene and seeing the Eugene Celebration Parade in 1998, she not only knew that she would slime right in, she immediately joined the planning committee, and they haven't been able to get rid of her ever since, as she continues to help coordinate the new and improved EUG parade. I think that's pronounced huge, the huge. Huge parade. In her day job, when not sliming with her fellow gastropods, she is the college and career liaison at Springfield Public Schools. Your royal slimeness.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. So I moved to Eugene in 1998, the second week of September, and I was a manager for the Shopco on Chad, and the employee said, "Wow, you got here at the perfect time because next weekend, next Saturday, is this huge citywide parade. You have to be there." everybody who's anybody is going to be at the parade. They're either in the parade or they're watching the parade. It's really an amazing event. And they talked about the engagement of the community, the diversity of our community, and the creativity. And they kept saying quirk. They said quirk a lot. And I thought, you know, that's really an event I want to attend. They said that it provided really a lot of insight into what our community is and where I was moving to. And they also mentioned a lot of self, a sense of belonging. And so I thought, wow, all that from a parade, I'm going to go to that parade. And I love quirky anyway. I've done kinetic sculpture race for 30 years. And I'm like, that's pretty quirky. So I'm going to the parade. And it was really amazing. It was everything that they said. And I was glad that I got here just in time to see that. And it really showed the diversity of our community. And there really was a sense of belonging. I left knowing I moved to the right city. I was very happy. So after the parade, I went right into the office. And I said, I must be a part of this parade. And I must be on the planning committee. And they did. They accepted me, probably because I just was pretty forceful about that. They accepted me. And I've been on the parade committee ever since, except for our little hiatus, which we don't really talk about. So how many have been to the parade or been in the parade? Look at you. Everybody has been in the parade or has watched the parade. Good job. So what do you think about when you hear the parade? What comes to mind? Community? Fun? Slug queens? What was that? Yeah, so community. So one of the things that a lot of people are proud of being in the parade, and not only are they proud, so hot off the press, the 2018 neighborhood reports, and on the front of it is their parade entry, and it represented every neighborhood association in their group. So people are really proud of their entries and being in the parade. So the last 3 years, the huge parade has partnered with Sunday Streets, and we've grown. We've went from like 36 entries to 55, so we're doing okay, we're growing. But so how many people have seen the huge parade, the new huge parade you've been attending? Good show of hands. How many went to the 67th annual Springfield Christmas Parade? Anyone? Not as many. You went 10? So I think the parade was like 2.5 hours. It was raining and cold, and the people lined the streets. And I don't think they're as quirky as we are. And those people came out, rain or shine, they came to their event. It's their 67th annual. They showed a lot of civic pride and go to attend that parade each year. So we need that kind of parade. So we're the quirky ones. So my gift to the city is a vibrant, creative, sustainable, quirky, huge parade, a huge parade that really showcases our community and with our voice in action. And a wise woman told me just recently, thank you, wise woman, the huge parade is a way to gauge our community's overall civic health, a way to engage our community to become more aware of its civic opportunities, a way to enthuse our community about its potential to collaborate and create, and a way to entertain our community, exposing its unique and quirky hugeness. So I do hope that you all are at Huge Parade 2020, that you're either in the parade or you come and watch the parade as a participant. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeanette. I mean, your slimeness. fitting for the events of this week, we have two most impeachable, impeccable politicians. I don't know what I was thinking. Sorry. First, State Senator James Manning, representing District 7. His career includes state corrections officer, police officer, railroad special agent, private investigator, sergeant major in the U.S. Army. In the words of the immortal Jim Croce, you don't tug on Superman's cape, you don't spit into the wind, you don't pull the mask off that old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim. That would be Senator Manning to you. And among Senator Manning's numerous community involvements include police commissioner for the city of Eugene and Eugene Water and Electric Board commissioner. In Salem, I'm pleased to say that Senator Manning has become a strong advocate for our community and especially for the rights of the disadvantaged and underrepresented. Welcome, Senator Manning.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Impeachable. Wow. I didn't know that I had risen to that type of a status. So, you know, I was thinking about this. Again, thank you so much, City Club. Thank you for all you do. It's really important. I'm looking around the room, and I see a lot of my friends. And, you know, it feels good to be back in Eugene. Years ago, when I arrived after 24 years and 3 months active duty United States Army, I had the privilege and opportunity to meet the mayor at the time, active mayor, Kitty Piercy. And she gave me some wise counsel once, and it still resonates today. I asked her, I said, what would you suggest or help me in order to move forward here as a public servant? She had a very simple way to phrase it. She said, just love Eugene. And for that, I thank you, Madam Mayor, because I do love Eugene. So I was thinking a gift to the city. What is it that I can do? It's kind of hard following Slug Queen. She looks much better than I do, obviously. So I thought that what would a former United States Army drill sergeant bring to the table today? And with some on his hand, push-ups and stuff, you know, yeah, I think that is a good thing to do. However, we're not going to do that right now, maybe later on, although I do the push-up challenge quite a bit. In particular, I try to make it a habit of doing 22 push-ups a day. That's in recognition of the suicides, death by suicides of veterans around the country, according to post-traumatic stress. There are some things out there that's going to change over time. Healthy minds, healthy bodies, things of this nature that we all should be convalescing around. Now, generally, I always start off my conversation with, do we have any Vietnam veterans in the house? Okay, do we have any veterans in the house? For our veterans, I want to thank you. Family members of veterans, please raise your hands. A little more. If you know a veteran, please raise your hand. All right, so now we got everybody here. My point is that we're all in this together. When one of us rise, we all rise. If one of us fall, then we all have problems. How do we get around problems? Well, we have to care for each other. We have to really care for each other. We can't be standing in judgment of one another when we have our own shortfalls, shortcomings. I'm thinking gifts. Well, in Salem, one of the things that I try to do to help make a gift is to promote Eugene. So I had a chance to go and visit the Nike facility. And I noticed that they had built up all of the land that they can grab. Well, I shouldn't say grab, but, you know, that was available. And I talked to them, and I said, you know, when you are expanding, you should consider Eugene to open up your next facility. Well, now Nike is opening up a place here. It's going to bring jobs. I'm looking at the Junction City Hospital. 2017, when they said that it was the governor was going to line item, veto that out, take it out. I had a meeting with the governor, and she asked me, she said, James, what are some of your priorities? And I said, well, a top priority of mine is to keep that Junction City Hospital open. If you recall, there was talk about spending $300 million to build a new women's prison. I couldn't see money being wasted like that, but that hospital was so vital to that community, and guess what? We kept that hospital open. So I'm looking, what are the gifts that we're gonna be doing for Eugene? Well, I was working with Terry McDonald and the good people over at St. Vinny's, and this past year, they asked me to introduce a bill. It's a real, what I thought was a real simple bill, mattress recycling. Let me show you how this bill works. Occasionally, you will be going down the roads or landfills, and you will see a mattress or something that's tossed out on the road. Perhaps maybe fell off a car or a truck inadvertently, but yet it's out there on the roadway. Eyesore, it does all these things. No good for the environment. This bill is a very modest bill. What it would do is that on the purchase of a mattress or box spring, the manufacturer will have a $10 recycling fee attached to it. What that will help, what that would do is that that will help St. Vinny's to create at least up to and probably more than 100 jobs for adults with developmental disabilities. And the work that they perform will be a zero waste of those mattresses. Now, if you've ever been out there and you've seen some of these dog beds that they have at St. Vinny's, beautiful, from recycled mattress materials, things like that. So there is a lot of hope on how we can provide more jobs. My universal health care bill, finally, we are in a position now where we're going to be exploring what that would look like for all Oregonians. If you live in Oregon, you will get health care. And I am leading the charge on it because health care is a human rights care. It is a human rights issue. And we have to do better. I see so many people out here suffering because they can't afford insurance. Well, this bill that I'm working on is going to help eliminate and alleviate a lot of those issues. I see a brighter future in 2020 for Eugene and Lane County. And the future, the brightness is right here in this room. Each and every Friday when City Club comes together and they give out these platforms for people to step forward and you can hear their voices, where they're coming from, what they stand for. This is very important. So my gift is a gift of love, a gift of hope. A gift that we together collectively, that we will rise above all of the politics and all of the nonsense, because at the end of the day, we have a major thing in common. We're all human and we all have to live together. My gift. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Manning. And appropriately enough then, because we are always fair and balanced here at the City Club of Eugene, right? Always. Our second politician with us today is an up-and-coming young leader in the Republican Party. Clay Beauvais is the vice, we hope, right? Absolutely. Yeah, he's vice president of the University of Oregon College Republicans. He graduated from Marsh Field High School in Coos Bay. Many of you know that is the same high school from which Steve Prefontaine came. And so Clay is off and running in his junior year at the University of Oregon, working on his Bachelor of Science degree, majoring quite naturally in political science and minoring, double minor, in classic civilization and business administration. Interesting combination. It either results in the administration of civilization or civilized administration. I mean, well, at any rate, we welcome you, Clay, and look forward to your gift.
Hello, everybody. As you said, I am Clay Beauvais, Vice President of the UOCR and also the Communications Director of the Oregon Federation of College Republicans. When I first came to campus, I was immediately exposed to politics, politics that was appalling to me. I'd never experienced anything like it, and it made me challenge my beliefs, my ideals, who I was, and it helped me to grow as a person. One of the things, though, that I loved about doing this was the diversity. When you come to the campus, you're exposed to diversity, and when you come to Eugene, you're exposed to diversity. And my favorite part of the diversity that I'm exposed to here is the diversity of thought, because the diversity of thought is what helps to make our community and what improves it. As we know, political tensions are going to be upcoming rather high, with Trump coming in 2020, the white elephant in the room. Everybody knows not all of us are going to be happy, not all of us are going to be sad, and some of us may even hate each other at times. But what's important to me is that we're all Oregonians. We're all here for the better of Eugene. We all love Eugene, and regardless of our politics, We all care for each other and what happens to our city. My gift that I'm bringing today is a pair of work boots. And they're a pair of work boots because they're what got me here to college, actually. I was finishing concrete and doing construction, building up the money so that I could come here and educate myself and to grow as an individual. I think that these pair of boots are fitting to give to the gift of, to give as a gift to the city of Eugene, because it helps provide to this diversity of thought, because it shows that regardless of our backgrounds, we're all here. And we've all come here in many different ways, and we can all celebrate how we've come here. And I think finishing concrete, as difficult as it can be, and as much wear and tear as it can be to your body, politics can do just the same to your head. But really, working together and working hard together to better our community is what's important to me, and it shows in this community when we do work together. It shows when you walk down the street and you see that new paved road, or when you see that new building that the university's putting up. Have any of you guys seen that like new like drawbridge kind of thing they got across? Like, it's crazy. Our city's growing, and it's great, and our people are growing as well, and I look forward to being a part of that. Thank you guys very much for having me.
Thank you, Clay, for that gift and for something very practical. Right. We now turn from those who seek to make the world better through political engagement to those who seek to make political engagement better for the world. David Fidanke is best known for his role as executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Oregon from 1993 until 2015, where he worked on many landmark Oregon court cases, lobbied federal, state, and local elected officials on civil liberties and civil rights issues. In March of 2013, he received the ACLU of Oregon's highest honor, the McNaughton Civil Liberties Award. Now, one clarification, because people often assume that David is a lawyer. It's obviously not true. My notes here say, insert bad lawyer joke. But David is no joke. David was actually trained as a news reporter, receiving his master's in journalism from UC Berkeley in 1974, coming to Eugene as a reporter for KZI and then KZEL-FM back in the 70s. He then worked as an aide to former U.S. Representative Jim Weaver before joining the ACLU, putting in 33 years before his retirement in 2015. More impressively, he has been a part of this club since its founding. So we welcome David. Look forward to your gift.
So I am speaking as a recovering journalist today. My wife and I moved to Eugene, as Dan said, 45 years ago in September of 1974. Within a few days, I began work as a radio news reporter. Politically, it was a tumultuous and historic time in our national and our local politics. A month earlier, Richard Nixon had resigned from the presidency in disgrace. Here in Oregon, former U.S. Senator Wayne Morris had died of kidney failure while running to regain his seat from Bob Packwood, who had defeated him 6 years earlier. And in the 4th District congressional race, Democratic nominee Jim Weaver was facing an uphill battle against incumbent Republican Congressman John Dellenbach. Needless to say, all of these developments were being closely covered by my colleagues and I in the news media. It was a great time to be a young news reporter who believed that straightforward, insightful, and probing journalism could make a positive difference in our representative form of government and in the daily lives of Oregonians. Today, during a week which has seen, yes, the impeachment of another U.S. president, the journalism landscape in our community is very different. Newspapers have been dying. Some, like our own Register Guard, are being strangled as we watch them continue to lay off hard news reporters, eliminate editorials, and consolidate production staff so that workers in Texas are doing the layout on ours and umpteen sister papers. They don't even notice a story that runs twice in the same paper, or a headline that is contradicted by the lead sentence of the article. In the meantime, Eugene Weekly, KLCC, and local TV stations do their best to fill the gaps, but too many of their potential readers, listeners, and viewers are only seeking out news from national sources that are tailored to their view of the world. If you're conservative, you watch Fox. Maybe you read the Wall Street Journal and listen to talk radio. If you're liberal, you watch MSNBC, listen to NPR, and read the Washington Post or New York Times. We no longer have a common source to get the information we need to make our political decisions and try to reach consensus. We can't even agree on what is fact and what are lies. To continue bending the arc of history towards justice, we need leaders of all political persuasions who are willing to step beyond the confines of partisanship, who can find common ground based on common principles. We also need more citizens willing to pay attention to issues and who will vote not just in presidential years, but in every local election. Most of all, at the local level, we need an adequate number of free and independent journalists to cover the news and to help lead our community dialogue. So my gift to the city is an optimistic prediction that we are at the dawn of a new age of journalism in our community. Imagine combining the strengths of local reporting, commentaries, and editorials that we used to have from the Register Guard and that we still have from the Weekly and KLCC. Imagine if all of that could be available and up to date every morning at our breakfast table, during the day when we're on our computers, tablets, and smartphones, while we're on our way home from work, and late at night when our day is winding down. Imagine a new way of reporting the news across all platforms that puts into practice the City Club's motto of building community vision through open inquiry. That can happen in 2020 and beyond. That is my gift to the city.
Thank you, David. And Edie, I think you just announced the Eugene Weekly is going to become the Eugene Daily. She's about to have a heart attack. Great segue for our next speaker, because we need to give equal time to the fourth estate of democracy, journalism, so fondly known these days as also as fake news, right? And Dr. Bethany Grace Howe is a recent doctoral graduate of the University of Oregon School of Journalism and Communication, and she will continue to use that title, she says, until her student loans are paid off, projected to be in the year 2099. She currently works as an independent researcher in coordination with the university's Prevention Science Institute, as well as volunteers with the Suicide Prevention Council of Lane County while doing the occasional stand-up comedy gig. Now, those are two things you don't often hear put together, right? Suicide prevention and comedy. I mean, how do you go from one to the other? So Dr. Howe also writes a monthly column, appropriately enough, here for the Eugene Register Guard in an attempt to preserve the printed newspaper for at least a few more years. Another very noble cause, which makes perfect sense for someone who does suicide prevention and comedy. You either got to laugh or cry. So Dr. Howe, we welcome you and your gift.
First of all, Senator Manning, you scared me to death. I suddenly had this fear that we were going to have to do calisthenics. And then I was like, toe touches. And I was like, oh, I can do those. And then the person at the table pointed out to me, no, I had to touch my toes. So those are harder. And the other thing that I kind of noticed is, Clay, I'm sure politically you and I probably don't agree on anything, but I will say this. You have the most magnetically resonant voice I've ever heard in my life. Morgan Freeman is getting older. You need to be narrating documentaries about penguins. Finally, without being terribly critical, I'm glad to be up here because it's nice to finally have a little bit of estrogen behind the microphone. And if you're thinking, oh, wow, the good news is I just went to Costco. I got a couple of bottles in my car. So see me when we're done if that interests you. I got to thinking about what I wanted to give, and there's so much. And I realized that maybe that's the problem. So this is what I came up with. 'Twas the week before Christmas, when crossed the city, people were exhausted, devoid of all pity. Their compassion was gone, even drinking was a fail, a flying Molotov through a window, the only cocktail. The homeless were still homeless, there were now even more, businesses closing downtown, one more darkened door. Climate change ignored, the planet still taking its lumps. Meanwhile in D.C., politicos are thinking out of their trumps. It seems such a terrible time, so hard to make a clatter, when even things like facts no longer seem to matter. But I have good news. Civic happiness be not a mirage, for my gift to the city is a full-spectrum massage. First to the marchers, our kinetic better halves, starting with the feet, working up to the calves, sore from marching from the courthouse to downtown, guns, climate, immigration, they won't leave us feeling down. Next to the arms and shoulders thrust high towards the sky, whether holding a sign or a fist that will not die. We'll press on the deltoids, we'll work towards the spine to let our foes know your defeat, it's mine. Now to the fingers, tired from writing letters, drafted to the council, business leaders and senators. We'll massage the digits lightly, tendons, nails, and knuckles. A letter to the editor awaits. We dare not ever buckle. The glutes, the maxims, maximus, your pecs, my delts. We've taken a stand to say how we felt. To the steps of the court, to Donnie's dumb wall. Protest away, protest away. Protest all day long. But then in a mumbling, I hear from my soul that I'm still quite tired. This year has taken its toll. Louder my soul cries out, what is that sound? And I know it's not in my body, but strength need be found. It's my mind that's been challenged, there's so much to do. I've had a headache since 2016, perhaps more shiatsu. But the pain is still there, what do I work for next? Is fighting for me, forgetting you, truly, what's best? I've tried Traeger, Trigger Point, even Swedish massages galore, but the only thing that gets triggered is me all the more. One more year of this, maybe five if Trump wins. There's no massage in the world with that many endorphins. It seems so hopeless to have to fight another day, call it fatigue, call it cynicism, whatever it is they say. But then I remember one thing that's always true. I've never fought alone. There's always been you, you, and you. Our lives, how they go forth, our passions so many, so we'll give it what we can, be it time or just a penny. We need not fight for everything, at least not all the time. Sometimes I'll simply follow your cause. I know you'll follow mine. For that is the secret, though a massage helps too. Remember we're not alone, there's all of us, it's true. Does all this joy mean that we'll always agree? Our passions are quite different, as you've surely seen. So just remember what's true for all at the start, that while our paths forward may differ, it all begins in the heart. Perhaps that's my gift too, remember to be patient. Remember to love and respect, even in dissent. And when that gets too hard and you start to despair, just pull out the massage oil and head for a chair. That's my gift to the city, I hope it's used well. What happens next November will make it easier to tell. But now I must leave you, my time quite over, I fear. Merry Christmas to all. And have a happy new year.
Delightful.
Good evening. You're listening to City Club of Eugene on KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, KLFR Reedsport 89.1, and at 88.1, KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, and KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College. You can find all City Club of Eugene programs on our website, klcc.org.
So now we go from the fourth estate to real estate. There's logic to this order. It's just maybe bad logic, but there's logic at any rate. Gene Tate, well known to Eugenians, is a decades-long mover and shaker in Eugene. She graduated from Pacific University, taught school for 5 years, then volunteered in the community for several years before going into the real estate business at which she excelled. She retired in 1988 and since then has volunteered as a developer of affordable housing and in 2005 for the not-so-affordable but very desirable housing close to the heart of Eugene, helping to start the wave of bringing housing back to the core of our city in that model project with her name on it. Jean has 2 children, 5 grandchildren, and 11 great-grandchildren, which explains why she has become a housing developer. So, Jean.
Thank you, Dan. And I hasten to add that the name on that building was over my dead body. My husband and I were on a long trip, and they named it, and I wanted to remove the name, and my husband didn't. So he was bigger than I was, so the name stayed. I have a very short gift for the city, but I also want to tell you that in June of 2020, it will be 60 years since my husband and I packed up our 2 kids, ages 4 and almost 6. Wayne drove a U-Haul, and I drove our car, and we moved to Eugene. We planned to be here for 3 years, and guess what? I'm still here. My gift to the city is simple, and it's something I strongly believe in, and I really, really wish we could make it come true, but it isn't easy. And that is, I would like everyone to learn to be, everybody to learn and to be agreeable even when they disagree. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. And we are also glad you are still here. And I think that's the first time that the gift has been shorter than the introduction. Speaking of affordable housing, I'm very pleased to welcome our next guest, my good friends and the most innovative, Kristen Fay and Eric DeBurr. Eric and Fay are community pioneers and were honored last year by us with the most prestigious Turtle Award, of course, just slightly below the Nobel Peace Award. Just slightly, right? When I first met them, they were living out of the one now famed Conestogas we see scattered around our community. Only theirs was the bedroom behind their office and shop on Grant Street, home of the nonprofit that they created, Community Supported Shelters, which has the mission of fostering opportunities for community development and safe functional shelter in Lane County. They recently completed their own 400 square foot home where they live with their youngest son, Abram. In addition to building, I think now over 120 of these Conestogas, they are working with other communities to do the same. And by the way, I hope you saw the one parked out in front of the in the parking lot. You can visit on your way out, or our radio audience can visit at 12th and Grant, where community-supported shelters can be found, and you will see them, as I say, around the community. We give thanks for the good work that they are doing, not only with the building of those Conestogas, but also the 4 rest stops that they manage that serve over 80 of our unhoused community members. So Eric and Fay, we look forward to the gift you give today.
Thanks, Dan, for that introduction. It helps me avoid having to talk any shop talk here. Good rundown. And I thought it was kind of unique that Jean moved here and she packed up her kids, 4 and 2, you said?
4 and 6.
4 and 6, thank you. Because when my family did the same from the Midwest, and I moved here when I was 4 years old and grew up in the River Road area. I have a little confession to make, because I have a kind of a severe gift-giving anxiety that I deal with during birthdays and holiday seasons and stuff. So I have this kind of fallback strategy that I use about the time when those events are coming up, and I just start listening to the individual who I know I need to get a gift for, and I look for those cues. Or listen for the cues of, oh, I really need this, or I really need that, and then I just go out and get that. It's kind of a foolproof way to make sure that I don't introduce more useless materials into somebody's life that they just feel obligated to keep, or they give to Goodwill or St. Vinny's. So when it came to kind of thinking about what would Eugene need, it's even more challenging, because we have so much, like this gentleman here said, so much diversity of thought, and it's troublesome to try to, it's hard to listen to everybody in Eugene, and because nobody can really agree on what Eugene needs. So I'm kind of in a bind here of like what to really give to the city of Eugene. So, but after much thought, we decided that we would give Eugene a gift that each Eugenian is going to have to unwrap for themselves. In this little metaphor here, the wrapping paper and the bow on this gift are questions. And the gift is going to be what each Eugenian unwraps and reveals for themselves or as a group. And as children, you know, it's an exciting time of year. Children, we all know and we all have experienced that we pick up the gift and we shake it and we listen for what's inside. And we also feel its weight and try to judge, you know, what could be that heavy with a lot of wonder and curiosity. With this process in mind that we've all experienced as kids and that wonder, I want to ask five questions. And we're going to do it slow so it has a lot of time to sink in. If I could see without assuming, what would I see? If I could listen without interpreting, what would I hear? If I could think without worry, what would I think of? If I could build without harming, what would we build? If I could give without expectation of receiving, what would I give? Gifts in their highest form will improve the quality of life for the recipients of the gifts. We see a thriving community as a collection of individuals who are sharing their personal gifts with those around them and taking the time to experience the subtle gifts that are all around us in this city that we call Eugene. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric and Faye. And I just all I have to say for the radio audience, you missed Faye's wonderful impersonation of Vanna White combined with some great opera singer. I'm not sure which, but thank you very much for that wonderful creativity and visuals, gift giving as well. Another great champion of the unhoused, just trying to survive, is Heather Selecki, who has played an active role in facilitating dialogue and sharing information about homelessness and housing issues in our community. She is the past chair of the Southeast Neighborhood Neighbors Association and past co-chair of the Eugene Neighborhood Leaders Organization. She currently helps manage communications and operations at White Bird Clinic and participates in both the Neighborhood Leaders Council Housing and Homelessness Subcommittee and the Eugene Human Rights Commission Homelessness Working Group, engaging our community education efforts and helping people understand the very difficult many issues at stake. It's been a delight for me in the last couple of years in working with Heather on a variety of different committees in our community, and I welcome her gift today.
Hi. So I've been the operations coordinator at White Bird since July of 2017. And the agency celebrated its 50th birthday. The agency celebrated its 50th birthday this year. It's grown from a group of student activists and concerned practitioners providing free crisis and mental health care to counterculture youth in 1969 to now a community institution ready to face 2020. White Bird provides CAHOOTS mobile intervention services for Eugene Springfield Public Safety System and 24/7 crisis intervention services for Lane County. We operate a medical clinic, a dental clinic, a drug and alcohol treatment program, mental health counseling, and day access services. We help folks sign up for health insurance, free Oregon birth certificates, SSI, SSDI benefits, and help to remove barriers for people who are unserved or underinsured. Our primary audience is adults, though we also serve youth and families. Our staff is experienced in working with the specific challenges of people experiencing homelessness, those with traumatic brain injuries, serious and persistent mental illness, and other chronic health conditions. We've seen a huge increase in the number of unsheltered adults over the past few years, and expanded need with both teens and preteens. At the Poverty and Homelessness Board's Shelter and Supportive Housing meeting this past Monday, Lane County shared that the number of literally homeless people currently engaged with services now tops 3,900 people, with 1,300 of those people with disabilities who've spent more than a year without a roof over their head. Earlier this year, an analysis of federal data around Eugene showed that Eugene leads the nation for the number of people experiencing homelessness per capita. That's above Los Angeles and New York City. So my gift to Eugene, if I could wave a magic wand, would be for us to instead to lead the nation on creating housing and supportive services to address this crisis we face. We know housing first works, but here we need to start with community first. Our community needs a year-round public shelter that allows people to stay with pets, partners, and possessions, with 24-hour security, bathrooms, and storage. Our community needs safe legal places for people temporarily living in cars and RVs to park. Our community needs public access to clean water, bathrooms, hygiene, and sanitation services to prevent the spread of waterborne and diarrheal diseases. My gift to Eugene would be to end the criminalization of homelessness. We need a community-first approach to stop persecuting people for being unsheltered. Imposing criminal and civil charges related to the status of being homeless when a person has no other place to go exacerbates the problem by creating additional barriers to housing, employment, and stability. Let the police do the work they're equipped to do, which is to address criminal activity, and give human service organizations the resources to provide outreach, healthcare, and social services support to shorten the duration and suffering of people living unhoused, and build housing that people can afford to live in. 42% of us don't have that. My gift to Eugene would be the creation of enough housing types and living options that are affordable to low-income households, enough to fill the 24,000 housing unit affordable deficit that we currently have, and also to plan for the future. We need a community-first approach to empower neighbors and business owners to find locations for affordable and transitional housing opportunities, including campgrounds in their own neighborhoods. Proactively identifying good sites is key to acceptance and integrating motivated individuals with community resources and local participation. Each one of us has something to offer, and the only way we're going to make a meaningful, lasting impact is together. Thank you for the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Heather, not only for that gift, but your work, and just let me publicly say for all your colleagues at Whitebird and especially CAHOOTS that are so vitally important to this community and whose work I so greatly appreciate. You know, there are those who seek to make our community a better place through their creativity and imagination, and we've heard much of that already today. Jim Evangelista is one of those. Jim earned his BFA and master's degree in special education from the University of Oregon and has spent a lifetime making and building community from Gainesville, Florida to Eugene. From designing, painting, and producing theatrical productions, public murals, and developing community-focused centers that give a home to diverse groups and individuals, Jim is a big picture kind of guy. He is the co-founder and director of Reality Kitchen, a local nonprofit serving the employment path goals of young adults who experience intellectual and developmental disabilities. We welcome you, Jim, and look forward to hearing the gift you have to give to us today.
Well, thank you so much. What can I give to a community that has given me so very much? I'm most grateful to the members who gave me the opportunity and distinct honor to present here today to a room filled with visionaries. You give all you have daily to a community that needs so much of your attention and your ongoing commitment. And I'm grateful to be here with you today. We all share the same mission, to offer those who seek a safe place to fulfill their goals and live with meaning and purpose. Like the drummer boy, I can only give you the work of my hands and the love and commitment in my heart. As we set our sights on the new year ahead, I pray that we can all have the strength to step up to the so many challenges that we are all going to face together with a clear 2020 vision, which is why I offer this perspective and gift. It's a land with no money that I want to live in. It's that quest for the buck. It makes me see it's a sin to scrabble for a living, compromise and cheat. What's weighed on the scales is not your worth. It's your tendency towards deceit. Life is so simple, so easily spent, as long as what you think on is what's valued rather than what's borrowed or lent. Caring and sharing and sparing the dime of the acts of the humble, and will learn that in time it will multiply and grow, and the dividends will rank. In God we must trust, and you can take that to the bank. God bless you all. Thank you.
I could love the poetry we are getting today. To conclude our romp through this wonderland of imaginative gift-giving, we finally turn to the performance arts. Well, we've heard already much performance art here. And the person I have known the longest out of all of our Santa's would-be elves here today, Diane Ratalik, is celebrating her 35th season as the artistic director of the Eugene Concert Choir, a resident company of the Holt Center for the Performing Arts. I had the honor of singing under Diane's direction when I first came to Eugene in 1991. Oddly, her career as a choir director took off when I was no longer in her choir. I'm still trying to figure that one out. Right. 2005, she was honored with the Bishop Arts and Letters Award for extraordinary contribution to the cultural life of the city, but she didn't quit and sit on her laurels. From conducting enormously significant works such as the Britain War Requiem, collaborating with the Eugene Ballet Company on Carmina Burana, to commissioning and winning awards for Shadow and Light and Alzheimer's Journey, and the most recent performance of The Unarmed Child in response to gun violence against children. Diane reaches into the heart of artistic expression. And I am told she is also a pretty hot amateur ballroom dancer, recently won the world championship in her division in the cha-cha, samba, rumba, and jive. And she never did one of those while she was the director of our church choir. So what the heck was with that, Diane? We look forward to your gift.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you, City Club. And boy, with all these resonant voices as you were talking about, Bethany, and this great performance here, I feel compelled to say that auditions for the Eugene Concert Choir are January 5th. Anyway, so if I ever won the lottery, this is what I would do, really. But I never buy a ticket, and so I'll pass on my imaginings to those who I believe could actually make this happen. Okay. My husband Greg is from Australia, and we have made numerous trips down under, particularly enjoying the Sydney Opera House. With its immediately recognizable elegant white sails, the Opera House, which incidentally includes an acoustically remarkable concert hall, represents more than a feature of Sydney. It has become the symbol for the entire country of Australia. Surrounded by outdoor restaurants and live bands playing music, people within and outside of Australia flock to this lively hub of activity. Whether they are attending an opera or concert, shopping downtown, simply enjoying the restaurants and live bands, or, as related by a couple of blokes sitting next to us, going to the footy. That's football game for the uninitiated. My gift to the city of Eugene. I wave my magic wand to transform the E-Web building into an 1,100-seat, acoustically magnificent concert hall that is the envy of the global artistic community. Its state-of-the-art technology would make it the spot for every groundbreaking tech announcement from our own Silicon Shire. This concert hall, surrounded by restaurants and live performance spaces, would be the world's gathering place, whether attending concert performances, duck football, basketball, or other sports events, or world track events, or simply enjoying shopping, dining, and socializing. Picturesquely set on the Willamette River, the award-winning, uniquely iconic architecture would make this concert hall not only the gem of the Northwest, but the symbol of the United States of America. From sea to shining sea. Thank you.
The world's greatest city for the arts, right, and the outdoors, wasn't that the slogan? How wonderful, Diane. We have been blessed today with so many wonderful gifts, from a new performance hall to boots to massages to a home for everyone and an unopened gift for each of you, including in our listening audience. We have had fun. We have been moved, all in the spirit of giving, to make this a better community for all. So this holiday season, when our nation seems so horribly divided over the meaning of democracy and the role of our leaders, my wish for you is that you will always remember that hope is always better than cynicism, joy is greater than despair, and love is stronger when shared. May it so be.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. I'd like to say a few words before we recognize our sponsors. 2 weeks ago, we sent out our winter newsletter. In it, you would find information about our future programs, our financial condition, and profile of one of our most active members. We ask that you review the annual appeal section. In it, you will find the description of an exciting opportunity for the City Club that you can help facilitate. Now I'd like to thank our gold sponsors for today, Lavis Cobb, Network Charter School, and Jerry Detheimer, Architects, Landscape, and Architects. And thank you to our in-kind sponsors, KRVM 91.9 Radio, Pack Info and Simplified Computing LLC, Dot Dotson's Photography, and Network Charter School, and to public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Monday nights at 6 p.m. And thank you to Community Television of Lane County, Cable Channel 29, for televising recent City Club programs. This is the final program of our calendar year, and we at City Club want to thank you all for your support and that's both our members and our online supporters. We look forward to the upcoming year when we will return for our January 10th program. That program will be entitled Going to Prison to Learn, and other programs such as our Holt Center Focus Program and a program on transit tomorrow and more. We'll also have a community spotlight in January, which will feature our Oregon Congressional District 4 Representative Peter DeFazio, and that takes place at Tsunami Bookstores on the last Wednesday of the month, the 22nd, I believe. We'll also be hearing from Ibrahim Hamidi and others next year, so please join us again January 10th, 2020. More details and information can be found about future programs online at the City Club's website, cityclubofeugene.org. Now, let's thank our speakers. Jeanette Keim, Jim Evangelista, Bethany Grace Howe, Jean Tate, Clay Beauvais, Eric and Faye DuBois, David Fidanke, Diane Redelec, Heather Salicki, and State Senator James Manning, and our special MC for today, Pastor Dan Bryant. Thank you all. That concludes today's program.